this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a story from our favorite state. It's Northport, Florida. A woman was found dead in a motel room there, along with a note and two live monkeys, police said. They discovered the capuchin monkeys in the room there. The woman is identified as a 59-year-old resident of Arcadia, Florida. Says, quote, there were no signs of trauma to Smith's body. The cause of death is undetermined at this point. The medical examiner will soon conduct an autopsy, end quote. It says also an incoherent man who was in the room with her received medical attention and was undergoing questioning. He was only making monkey noises at first. I swear this is from CNN, okay? And you know what? I read this story, and then today I read another story about a monkey that walked into a bar. Now, I know this sounds like the beginning of a joke. I swear it's not. Monkey goes into a bar in Brazil, starts drinking rum. Everybody's laughing it up until the monkey grabbed a butcher knife and then ran around trying to stab people. They had to call the fire department to come, and the fire department captured the monkey. They were able to hand it over to a wildlife facility so it could sober up. I guess they gave him some black coffee and pancakes and all that. And now they're sort of studying this monkey, and they say you have to be careful. They're learning how to use weapons. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hey, I had a little something to throw in. You were talking about the drunk monkey or whatever. And yeah. Off the air, we were talking some MacGyver talk. And right. I heard a good little, here's one. He's like, I come from a long line of illusionists. My dad used to turn right into a bar. Get it?
Yeah. That's a MacGyver joke?
That was a Jack Dalton. MacGyver, okay. That was a Jack Dalton joke.
But yeah, you
MacGyver
and I,
drank juice. You know.
Okay. Well, you know, you and I and Shelley Wright, investigator Shelley Wright, all found common ground in MacGyver, didn't we?
We are all fans.
We bonded.
During the intro, I was asking Shelley if I would look good with a mullet.
And I said, no.
And you know, which also kind of reminds me, I guess, you know, they're in the last season of Mythbusters.
Yes.
I'm not sure if they've aired their last episode or not. But I always enjoy it when Mythbusters goes in and tackles, like, you know, MacGyver scenes. And what I found is that most of the time when they go in and test a MacGyver myth, it actually turns out to be plausible.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Sometimes.
I know that one time they tried to create a sort of makeshift airplane that he made.
Yeah, with a rocket launcher? Was that the one where he launched, like, where he took the flare gun and a rock? And he used that to propel himself backwards off the cliff?
Yeah, that's the one. That didn't work.
No. Today he was like, you need to go out and find all the fabric you can. And so then he's outside, they have this bucket, and they're making glue, and you're like, what are they doing? And he makes the most symmetrically perfect hot air balloon.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that is very, I mean, it was very symmetrical. It just seemed like that was some backwoods engineering that was too good to be true.
Well, you know, you always hear about how that, like, all of these brilliant scientists today were inspired by watching Star Trek when they were kids, you know, and they wanted to actually create, you know, the communicators or whatever. So now we have cell phones. I wonder how many people are out there, you never hear about it, who got into engineering or whatever because they watched MacGyver.
I mean, were we not talking about this the other day, how we have an engineer here who's oh, this was a different show I was doing. We have an engineer here at the station who named his son MacGyver.
Really?
Oh, that's funny.
Yep. And so, like, you'll hear him, like, when he comes in, you know, like, during at the end of work day, the kid's running down the hall, and he's like, MacGyver! MacGyver!
That's hilarious, man.
I mean, like, part of me is like, that's the coolest thing ever. And then the other part of me is like, man.
There's a lot of expectation for that kid. That's a lot of pressure when you're MacGyver.
I mean, I want to name my kid Elvis, but I mean, like, that's a lot of expectation.
Well, you know, speaking of scientific discoveries, we have got a big one that recently happened. We're going to talk about a little tonight, and I swear I'm going to try to do this without boring you to death. You know, scientists have finally proven for the first time that gravity waves exist. So I'm going to explain to everybody on the show tonight exactly what that means, best we know. And it's just absolutely amazing. It's just an incredible story when you understand the details of how scientists found these waves and proved they exist. And
is this have something to do with, like, like perpetual motion in space?
Not really. No? Not really. I mean, it's possible maybe that you could harness gravity waves to create some kind of an energy source that might almost seem like virtual perpetual motion. But this is not quite like thinking of, you know, the vacuum or the ether or, you know, the zero point energy. It's not quite like that, but it definitely gives us some confirmation about, you know, people throw this term around like the fabric of space-time.
The fabric of space-time.
Yeah, it's true. Space can be stretched, and it can be bent, and it can wobble and jiggle and do all these things. They say, you know, it's just like if you have a mattress and there's a heavy person sleeping on it, it's going to sag.
So space is like a chubby girl.
Yeah, pretty well, space is like the mattress. And but you know, you have a little person sitting next to the big person, it's not going to sag as much, and so that's really all you need to know to understand gravity, kids.
It's just that simple.
Yeah. And of course, this is our first show in a while because I just got back from a truly epic journey across North America and back. I mean, literally, I went from Puerto Rico, which that's about as extreme as you're going to get in the east, maybe with the possible exception of the U.S. Virgin Islands. They're a little bit farther east, all the way to Los Angeles. And then from Los Angeles, I went down to Mexico. Basically, I went from Puerto Rico to New Orleans, stayed there for a while. From New Orleans to Los Angeles, stayed there for a while. Took a cruise down through Mexico, the Mexican Riviera, Cabo San Lucas, and Mazatlan, and Puerto Vallarta. Came back to Los Angeles, then flew to Dallas, Texas, and stayed in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and then from there went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and then back to Puerto Rico. And in the midst of all that, I just have had a string of adventures I'm going to share with all of you tonight. I went to a UFO crash site. I went back to Dealey Plaza.
Nice.
I spent a night with Jim Mars, the ultimate JFK assassin expert.
Ooh,
and,
we're gonna talk more.
Oh, yeah. But, Shelley, did you happen to bring a little package with you into the studio tonight?
Well, yes, I did.
She did, and I don't know how to feel about this. I'm wondering if this is why I'm feeling sick.
Shelley, would you like to explain what you found when you opened the package that you received from me?
Well, there were two voodoo dolls. I have named them Barbie and Ken, and they are they're very, very beautiful. The faces are about the same, very exotic looking, feathers coming out of the top. Mine has a beautiful pink brocade fabric covering it with some
it's like
other
a kimono.
Yeah, it kind of has that Asian influence there. Very,
got some
very
pins
cool
in there. Don't know what those are for.
No, he said open it, but do not let Sam remove the pins.
Yeah. So okay, I bought those guys for you. I bought those dolls for you guys in New Orleans, and I specifically talked to the voodoo priestess who blessed them and personalized them for each of you.
Thank goodness, because I accidentally dropped mine on its face.
Well, okay, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you guys on the air how to use the dolls properly. So I hope that you haven't done anything too extreme with them yet. Whatever you do, do not remove those pins, okay? I will explain all that.
They are still in the baggies.
You know what that means, though, right? It means remove those pins right now. That's what it means.
Well,
that's really what it means.
If you did it, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But I think that it's truly I came across some dolls in New Orleans that were so creepy and ghoulish and scary. I started to buy those because I thought, like, man, this would freak them out.
That'd be cool.
But then I started thinking, you know, I really, though, I have to take this seriously. You know, I don't want to buy some kind of like dark negative thing and send it to you guys.
I know.
Because then we'd have to kick your butt.
And then, like, you unleash some door to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
That would not be cool.
These were chosen specifically because they represented the kind of gift that I thought was appropriate for you two to have. But there is a lot of power in those dolls. And when I explain how to use them, maybe other people who are listening to the program will find that information useful in some way as well. But we are up on our first break. When we come back, I have a story here. I was talking about the monkey getting drunk, trying to stab people. Now I have a story. Puppy shoots man. Okay, this is a real story. A puppy has shot a man. I'm going to tell you about that when we come back. We'll talk about the voodoo dolls. We'll also get some into the gravity waves discovery. And, there's so much to talk about tonight. You've all picked a wonderful evening to spend with us here on Speaking of Strange. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. Write that down. You'll want it on your fridge. 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Nobody wants to get to get high on the town. And all my rowdy friends have settled down. And I think I know what my father meant when he sang about a lost highway. And old George Jones, I'm glad to see, is finally getting straight. Get drunk and get loud.
Broadcasting from Nashville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. They're in Asheville. I'm really looking forward to talking to Shelley a little bit later in the show about what's been happening with the gold and silver values lately. They are really jumping up. They're getting high. We knew it would happen. Again, if you don't have the number to Wright's, I implore you to keep it on hand. Give them a buzz Monday, 828-298-5402. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, there is a live chat during the show. Links to all kinds of interesting content and businesses that you're going to enjoy checking out, like the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. Yes, believe it or not, they run year-round. They've been running every weekend in the snow, in the ice. Doesn't matter. We still run the tours. And also a link to WrightsCoinShop.com. So before the break, we were talking about... my trip, really, and it's kind of funny, you know, we came back in with little Hank Williams Jr. there when I was in Fort Worth, Texas, went to this old authentic saloon, one of the oldest in Texas. I think it was called the White Elephant, and walk in there. The place looks pretty much like it did, you know, 100 and some years ago, and here's Wild Bill Hickok just sitting there at the bar. And this wasn't like some kind of, you know, Walt Disney kind of thing that where they created a little actor. Apparently there's a guy who just goes in there, dresses up like Wild Bill Hickok and sits around, drinks beer, tells, you know, off-color jokes and whatnot. And, yeah, you can get your pictures taken with him. But it's very weird, you know, when you see stuff like that, you think, man, this is getting realistic now. You know, it's like there's a ghost here in this bar. But as a part of my trip, we spent some time in New Orleans, and I was telling Sam and Shelley during the break that all over America right now, it's cold, okay? Southern Florida was cold, New Orleans was cold, Los Angeles was cold. Luckily here in Puerto Rico, it's like summer year-round here, but the states are all cold. And in New Orleans, it was kind of rainy and nasty the whole time, but... I had told Sam and Shelley I would get them some kind of a gift. And I went into this voodoo shop. There are quite a few, but I've been to New Orleans numerous times, and I know how to avoid some of the more touristy ones. So I go into this voodoo shop, kind of a small, cramped space. They had some pretty wild stuff. I mean, they had a leopard head. Literally, somebody cut the head off of a leopard, and it's sitting there with its teeth all bared, you know, just a scary-looking thing. And there were some voodoo dolls in there that looked really, really creepy and scary, and they had a very dark energy around them. And I started to buy those for Sam and Shelley just because I figured it'd freak them out, you know. But then I said, look, no, seriously, I don't want to play with this. You know, I only want to get them something that is going to have the potential for some good use. So right now, Sam and Shelley, hopefully each of you have your doll in your hand. If not,
we have it in the bag. Should we take it out of the bag?
Yeah, go ahead and take it out of the bag.
All right.
So now, again, you know, it's a simple doll, and each one of these dolls have been personalized. And so what that means is that right now, in its current state, Sam, your doll you're holding in your hand,
yes,
is you. Okay? That's you.
Oh, so you putting them in plastic bags with our names on them wasn't so we wouldn't be confused by the gender, which, you know, mine's pink and yours is what, red? You know, it was really made for, okay.
That's correct, yes. And Shelley, yours is you, okay? So in its current incarnation, you better treat that doll with respect, okay? Because that whatever happens to that doll symbolically is going to happen to you in some form in reality.
Crap, because I accidentally dropped it on its face.
Well, you're screwed then, Shelley. Stay away from her, Sam. She's going to be tripping.
What are the
but it was
what are the adornments mean? There's a where the nipples are. There's a black nipple and a white nipple, and then
that represents good and evil.
Then we got what appears to be a leaf, some flowers.
Yeah, your connection to nature.
Okay, and then something else, some sort of shape at the bottom. And it's all made out of some sort of bound reeds or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not exactly sure about how, you know.
Well, maybe you should have figured that out before you started giving us it. You're like, oh, hey, Sam Shelley, I sent you these voodoo dolls. Don't, oh, make sure you don't drop them or do anything bad to them. I don't really know what they do, but.
Well, I'm not done. Let me continue giving you instructions now. So if you just keep them as is, that's fine. You can do that the rest of your life if you want to, and you can keep the doll as an incarnation of your energy. That means if you want maybe to bring yourself, let's say you want to go on a trip to an aquatic environment, maybe you might put it next to a fountain in your house, or if you want money, maybe you'd put a little, like a $20 bill under its arm and sit it in a place where you're going to look at it. You know, you can use it to do whatever you want for yourself. But, if you ever remove the pins that are in the doll right now, when you do that, instantly the doll reboots and it becomes a blank slate. And at that point, if you so choose, you can turn the doll into any person you want. And you do that by walking outside at night when the moon is high, when you can see the moon, and you hold it up to the moon, and you say that person's name three times. And once you do that, the doll becomes that person. Now, you can only do that one time. So if you ever decide to turn the doll into a representation of another person, you better think very carefully about why you're doing that and know that it can never be reverted back to any original condition. So it's up to you if you want to keep it as a representation of you or if you want to turn it into somebody else.
It Once seems you like a lot it, of responsibility.
It is.
You could have just gotten us a Barnes & Noble gift card.
You just sit it on your bedside table. Don't let the cat get to it.
The cat would get
to it. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, it's like a mogwai.
What if somebody stole my doll and then started doing bad stuff to me?
Well, it could happen.
I'll help you curse him. I'm good at that.
So you have to protect that doll. Now, another thing to consider is that if you pull the pins out and you turn it into another person, at that point, if you put the pins back in, you're going to be hurting that other person. So once the pins come out, you don't put the pins back in unless you're using them as a weapon.
I'm kind of already wanting to do this to somebody.
Now, you talk about pins. Mine has one pin.
Mm-hmm. I got two nipples.
Yeah, I got one.
Shelly's a mono nip. A mono nip.
Yeah.
I got good and evil. What do you got? Just evil or just good?
It looks like mine's evil.
Mm.
Huh. Well, the voodoo priestess chose them. So she must know something that we don't know.
Well, what did you tell her that you wanted for us? I mean,
well, I told her the situation. I said, you know, I have two of my best friends in Asheville, and they want a gift, and I want to give them something that will empower them, but something that will give them the ability to, you know, choose how they want to ultimately use it, if they want to use it for themselves or for somebody else. And if you turn the doll into somebody else, you can still, you know, do good things. It's not like you just have to turn it into somebody you hate and, like, chop its head off. I mean, you could do good things for another person. Well, okay, well, you know what? We're already up to our next break. When we come back, puppy shoots man, okay? This is a real story I'm going to share with you. And also, I want to talk some about this incredible new scientific discovery. They have proven that gravity waves exist, and I'm going to explain this to you in a way that I think you will you'll really appreciate, and you'll find it as incredible as I do. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Fatal attraction is holding me fast. How can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can't keep my eyes from circling sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound history.
Company tonight, going out to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange, and I am Joshua P. Warren. This evening's program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop there in Asheville, and the number to Wright's Coin Shop is one that you should have on speed dial, especially these days, 828-298-5402. You can go right in there and talk to Miss Shelley Wright in person, 828-298-5402. Hey, here's this story I want to get to before we start talking about the gravity waves. This is a story from Pensacola, Florida. Of course, puppy shoots Florida man. Says a puppy reportedly saved its own life when its paw slipped and tripped the trigger of a gun that its owner was going to shoot it with. So this man in Pensacola is a 37-year-old, and it says here that he decided to shoot a litter of puppies. Okay? And, you know, that kind of thing is not unheard of. Sometimes people have puppies, they don't want them, and they're too lazy to get in the car and, you know, drive.
And these people should die horrible, horrible deaths.
It's the kind of people who, you know, put cats in a sack.
Quit!
And so this guy, however, he got some just desserts, it sounds like. The litter was a shepherd mix, and he shot and killed three of these puppies.
Oh, would you stop?
But it says he was holding one dog in his left hand and one dog in his right hand, and the puppy in his left hand began to wriggle, and it put its paw on the trigger and fired the gun. And it shot the man in his wrist. So the guy went very quickly to the emergency room. You know, that can be a life-threatening wound. You have those veins there that people cut when they commit suicide.
That's some just desserts right there.
Yeah. And of course, the authorities got involved, and he explained honestly what had happened.
If you would have told me this earlier, I would have had this queued up while you told the story.
Continue
the story with this in the background.
Okay. So he told the police that he had been unsuccessful in giving the puppies away. And they found the ones that he had successfully killed. But the remaining puppies are now at the animal shelter. And this man is facing animal cruelty charges.
As well he should be. Do you know what the song is, by the way, yet?
No, I don't, actually.
Too many puppies.
Too many puppies?
Yes, by Primus.
Come on. I don't know that one, okay?
All right.
Obscure reference for Primus fans out there.
It's not that obscure.
Okay. Let me explain to you about this gravity wave business, okay? We kind of take for granted now this idea that there is this thing called the fabric of space-time. You hear about it all the time. But it turns out scientists had never actually seen direct proof that that's how it works. Like I explained earlier, you know, Einstein was the one who said around 100 years ago that, again, if you have, say, a bowling ball on a mattress, the mattress is going to sag where the bowling ball is. And if you put a marble near that sag, well, the marble's going to be rolling toward the bowling ball. And that's kind of how gravity supposedly works. And even though that's a good model for explaining a lot about the motion of the bodies in space, it still has never been directly observed. And in fact, scientists have said that if you consider that gravity is sort of like an ocean, everything moves so slowly and is so stable that it's kind of like looking at the surface of the ocean but never actually getting to see a wave or anything stormy happening. So you see it there, but you don't really get to see anything dynamic going on. And they always suspected that, you know, if something big happened, like, for example, if two black holes were to collide, it could create an enormous ripple or wave that would spread through that ocean of gravity, and we might be able to pick it up here on Earth. Well, sure enough, it turns out that 1 billion light years away, two black holes collided in September of last year, of 2015. So basically, now what we're talking about now, as far as 1 billion light years, keep in mind, light travels 186,000 miles per second. And a light year is the distance that it can go in a year at that speed. So 1 billion light years away is an unimaginable distance. And yet, out there at that distance were two giant black holes. And black holes suck things to them. And so it makes sense that eventually two black holes will suck toward each other. And then sometimes they just sort of, you know, combine into one even bigger black hole. So these two black holes started being sucked toward each other. And as a matter of fact, as they were coming together, the last second before they combined, these two black holes were spinning around each other 250 times per second. Imagine that. Okay, something as gigantic as a black hole, and you have two of them circling around each other 250 times per second until, boom, they just merge into one big black hole. Well, scientists years ago were trying to figure out how they could detect some kind of a ripple of energy that might come from that kind of thing. And so they created the system called LIGO, which is basically a laser detection system. Here's how this works. They have two facilities. One is in Louisiana. The other one is in the Pacific Northwest. And basically, if you look at each one of these facilities from the air, they look like they're shaped like a cross. Okay, and each arm on that cross is 2.5 miles long. And in the center of each one of those arms is an empty tube. They're pretty much called the longest empty bottle on planet Earth. It's a vacuum. They've actually sucked all the air out of this empty tube, and it's surrounded with layers of concrete and glass and everything. So essentially, you have these two cross-shaped buildings, and each arm on the cross is 2.5 miles long, and each arm contains an empty tube. Now, at the end of those empty tubes is a little mirror hanging there on a glass thread, and it's absolutely completely still. And there is a laser that's pointed at that mirror that can detect if that mirror moves. And it's so sensitive. Let me tell you what
this... How sensitive is it?
Thank you. It's so sensitive that it can pick up the most unimaginably small movement. Okay, I'll give you an example. A proton is a subatomic particle that is so small we can't even see it with our best microscopes. This mirror is so sensitive that when it moves, they can detect a movement that is 1/10,000th the diameter of a proton. Okay, so in other words, if you took a proton, something so small we can't even see it, and you cut it into 10,000 pieces, the width of one of those pieces is the width that this the width of movement that this system can pick up. All right, so it's super, super, super sensitive. So that said, in September, these two black holes, they came together, and when they did that, guess what? The little mirrors moved. They moved in both facilities, and scientists were astounded because they said, you have to remember now, when these two black holes combined, they're so far away, and yet they were still releasing, and get a load of this, they were releasing so much energy that they put out 50 times the energy of all the stars in the universe. All the stars in the universe.
Now you're just talking crazy talk.
Yeah. And yet, it just created this little wobble on these mirrors. But you know what else? It created a sound. And when we come back from this break, we're going to play for you the sound of two black holes combining into one giant black hole. Human ears have never heard this before. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, and it's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. You only come. Against a plumber and an architect.
trouble now. My hope of winning sank, 'cause I got the Daily Double now. And then
final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program was presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And now coming up, hour number two, well, I'm going to do my best. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I've got all my notes in front of me. I'm going to do my best to try to tell you about some of the highlights of my epic journey across North America that I just completed days ago. I'm going to tell you about the investigation I did of a UFO crash site. Now, this is a very, very important one, and I'll explain to you why. That was in Aurora, Texas. I'm going to tell you about Dealey Plaza, and you know, this is my second trip to Dealey Plaza, where John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And
real quick, trivia, what's the only difference between Dealey Plaza now and Dealey Plaza in 1963? What's the main? What would be the main difference? Because it's very, very similar to William.
Yeah, it is. It's incredibly similar. I know the vegetation is a little different, but I can't think of anything else. What
the
is
the traffic
it?
Pattern runs the opposite direction now?
From really?
Where, yeah, it's like counterclockwise as opposed to clockwise. Other than that, it's the same.
Well, that's an interesting bit of trivia. As a matter of fact, I am especially fascinated because I got an opportunity to shoot a Mannlicher Carcano rifle, which is the same type of rifle that Oswald used. You
really?
Know how you always see people and they're trying to see, could I do the three shots in 6 seconds, you know?
Can be done.
Well, I got to do that, and I'm going to explain what happened when I did that. And I'm going to give you guys a little info about the conspiracy cruise. I don't want to name any names, but the cruise literally ended with one of the speakers getting arrested by the feds. And yeah,
successful!
Hooray!
Yeah, kudos. It's just a wild, wild experience. So I'm going to tell you guys all about that. But let's get back to what we were talking about before the break. Okay, I explained that. We've never before heard the sound of two unimaginably gigantic black holes sort of merging into each other. Imagine two of them are spinning around each other 250 times per second, and then boom, they combine and output more energy. Not just more, but 50 times more energy than all of the stars in the universe combined. Scientists captured it. And we've got the audio for you. Listen very closely because it's not what you're probably expecting. You might want to turn your radio up a little bit. And I believe in this clip it's going to repeat maybe two or three times. So here it is. Okay, now let me jump in here and say, just to clarify, the actual sound is the whoop. It almost sounds like a drop of water hitting a pan or something.
I was going to say it sounded like a baby's heartbeat or something from an ultrasound. Or something. I was expecting more of like a cataclysmic boom.
Yeah, everybody, I think, was. And they said that if you actually sat down in front of a piano and you just ran your fingers from the lowest key up to middle C as quickly as you can, that would pretty much reproduce this sound. So now that I've explained that it's the whoop Let's play it one more time for everybody.
Oh, now you want to go back and play it. Hold on. Hold on.
I knew that you dumped it already. Okay. So, you know, that's it. I mean, that little whoop, that is a very good representation of the reality of how the scientific process works, especially when we're talking about cosmic phenomena. It's not like some kind of gigantic, sensational, dramatic, you know, thing actually happens. It's little things like that, little moments like that that scientists pray for, and they spend their whole lives patiently waiting for it. And when they get it, hey, it changes everything. Now that we know that the gravity waves are out there, what does that mean for us? Well, I don't know exactly what that means for us, but I don't think you ever know what these findings mean exactly when they happen. But maybe we'll turn it into something somehow. That's how science works. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you about, yes, my journey over the past month across the continent and back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
Montana Baptist.